Hello and welcome to Press TV's Debate. I'm Marcia Hashmi. Thanks so much for being with us. Well, imagine hundreds of people being injured in one day and basically very little being reported about it in the mainstream media. Or if reported, those who are killed or injured are portrayed as the culprits of the violence, and those who have done the killing or maiming are considered the victims. Well, welcome to the occupied Palestinian territories and the Palestinian Great Return March. We're going to take a look at what is happening in occupied Palestinian territories on this edition of the debate. Well, I'd like to cross over to Gaza City, joined by Press TV's correspondent on the ground there, Ashraf Shannon. Ashraf, bring us up to par on the latest situation that has taken place there.
Well, Marzia, today Palestinians in Gaza held funeral for a 15-year-old boy who succumbed to his wounds today after being shot in the abdomen during the peaceful Friday protest, and also a 25-year-old protester who was shot in the chest and killed yesterday by Israeli snipers as thousands of people were taking part in the peaceful rallies against the Israeli occupation, and also to highlight the Israeli siege, the inhumane and illegal Israeli siege that has been taking place since 2007. People in Gaza are suffering tremendously. Around 2 million people live in the Gaza Strip. They embarked on this peaceful action on March 30th to draw the world's attention to the plight of Palestinian refugees. The refugee crisis began up in 1948 upon the creation of the Israeli regime. And the main goal of these peaceful rallies is to highlight the suffering of Palestinian refugees and their demands for the right of return. Out of 2 million people living in Gaza, more than 1.3 million are Palestinian refugees or children or grandchildren of Palestinian refugees. Now, the Great March of Return rallies continued, and the Israeli brutality doesn't seem to come to an end. At the same time, earlier today, the Israeli Navy seized a boat that was heading to Gaza, the second boat in a week, to try and break the illegal naval blockade of Gaza and to support the Great March of Return rallies that have taken place for more than 4 months now.
Thank you so much for that update out of Gaza City. Press TV's Ashraf Shannon. And I'd like to welcome my guest to the program, author and lecturer Dr. Norman Finkelstein out of New York, and journalist and political commentator Richard Millett out of London. Thank you both for being with us. Let's start this off in London. And Richard, when you just heard our correspondent on the ground there in Gaza summarizing what has taken place, what comes to your mind?
Hamas is responsible for this entire debacle. This is an oppressive Nazi regime that oppresses the women of Gaza, the gays of Gaza. There's no gays allowed, otherwise they'd be executed. Women can't express themselves. Dissidents are executed by being thrown off the tops of roofs. And these poor people that you're showing on your films are forced to put themselves in the front line, forced to throw Molotov cocktails at Israeli soldiers, forced to try to climb the walls. If they didn't do what Hamas told them to, they would be shot. So these poor Gazans are between Israeli soldiers who are trying to defend themselves and defend the Israeli people.
And of course, then on the other side, then Richard,
and the oppressive
Hamas being shot by the Israeli regime, right? I think that is the question. You're saying that Hamas is forcing them, but what we're seeing every day, especially on Fridays, we're seeing protesters. Peaceful protesters, actually, and the Israeli regime using live fire, are using tear gas or rubber bullets, and we have over 150 people that have been killed since March the 30th. Doesn't that alarm you at all, Richard?
They're mostly Hamas.
Okay, let me get Dr. Finkelstein in on this, turning to New York. Your take, sir. What is going on in Gaza? Do you see it as an act of desperation by a people who have no choice but to at least try to protest their situation?
Well, let's look at the big picture and then let's look at the details. The big picture is pretty clear. In January 2006, there were democratic elections in Gaza and the West Bank, parliamentary elections. And Hamas, the Islamic movement, won those elections. Jimmy Carter, the former US president who was an observer, he described the elections as completely fair and honest. Immediately after Hamas won the elections, Israel, then quickly followed by the US and the EU, slapped these murderous sanctions on Gaza. Then in 2007, Israel and the United States, along with elements of the Palestinian Authority, orchestrated a coup against the democratically elected government in Gaza. Hamas preempted the coup and then consolidated its power in Gaza. At that point, the sanctions were tightened another couple of notches. Now, all human rights organizations and humanitarian organizations, whether you refer to the Human Rights Watch, Amnesty International, the UN High Commissioner for Human Rights, the UN Human Rights Council, everybody, the International Committee of the Red Cross, the World Health Organization, they all agree on 2 points. Number one, that the siege, the blockade of Gaza is illegal under international law. And number two, it's Israel, not Hamas, it's Israel, that's responsible for the blockade, the siege of Gaza.
Well, let's stop right there. Let's stop right there because let me get Richard Millett in on this conversation and responding to what you have just said. You've heard Dr. Finkelstein and talking about international organizations and the results of what they have investigated. Your take, Richard.
Well, Norman's talking absolute rubbish. I mean, you know, Hitler was elected, so because Hitler was elected, should they just let Hitler do what he wanted to do, continue the extermination of the Jewish people, continue to take over the United Kingdom? Just because Hamas was elected, should Israel allow Hamas, as per its charter, to try to kill every single Jew, not just in Israel, but throughout the world?
It is quite mind-boggling, Richard Millett, I have to say. It is quite mind-boggling you're talking, when, of course, it's the Israelis with the airplanes, it's the Israelis with the drones that are continuing monitoring, it's the Israelis with control over the water supply, electricity in Gaza, it's the Israelis who have blocked this area for years now. So where's the responsibility for television? Aviv and all of this.
And have you seen how well these Palestinians look? Have you seen how well they actually look compared to the starvations that are going on in all the other Arab countries? Look at the massacres and the starvation in Yemen. Look at the civil war in Syria. Look at the oppression in Jordan of the people. Look at the oppression in Iran. Look at the oppression in Saudi Arabia. These people in Gaza have the problems of Hamas, but Israel supplies, as you quite rightly said, Marzia, the electricity, the food,
they have 1 hour a day, the water, which is 98% filled with sewage. That is what Israel is providing right now for the people in Gaza. Let me get Dr. Finkelstein back in this. When we look at the situation of what has been happening, of course, since March 30th, the day of the Nakba, or the catastrophe, the day of the catastrophe, since then we have seen many, many people, over 150 people killed, over 14,000 people injured. And basically, when we look at the global reaction, especially mainstream reaction, we have seen some, but definitely not on the level that it should be if this situation was happening in perhaps some Western country. Your take on this and why the difference?
I'm a little confused by some of the arguments that Mr. Billet is making. He seems to think that the cause of all the Gazan people's grief, all of their tragedy, is owing to Hamas. But then he says that the people of Hamas look very well. They're well fed, they're well kept. Apparently, to judge by what Mr. Millet is saying, they're living a very good life in Gaza. So then Hamas must be doing a good job as the government of Gaza if everybody is living a good life there, as Mr. Millet seems to think. So maybe Mr. Millet wants to congratulate the Hamas regime on its record of excellent governance. But now, turning to the real world, I have a very simple question for Mr. Millet. And I wonder if he can just catch his breath and pause for a moment to think through his answer. The world's leading authority in Gaza's economy is a woman named Sarah Roy from Harvard's Center for Middle Eastern Studies. As it happens, Sarah Roy is the daughter of two survivors of the Nazi Holocaust of Auschwitz concentration camp. She's obviously Jewish, and she's a first-rate scholar. Now, in her most recent edition of her classic book, she writes, quote, "Innocent people, most of them young, are slowly being poisoned by the water they drink and likely by the food they eat." So I have this question for Mr. Millet. The reason they're being poisoned by the water is because Israel's blockade is preventing the needed equipment to purify the water. So I have this question, Mr. Millet. Does it trouble you that 1 million children in Gaza are being poisoned by the water they drink because of Israel's blockade of Gaza?
Mr. Millet, you can answer that. Go ahead.
I'm troubled by Norman's idiocy. I mean, my answer was that the reason the people in Gaza look so well is because, as I said to you, Israel is supplying the food, the electricity, and the water. And if the water was being poisoned, as you said, 98%, then why aren't they dying? Why is this not being documented? We're seeing that people of Gaza look very healthy, very well fed, and this is because of Israel. Israel is providing the food and the water, and this idea that it's being poisoned is obviously not being proven. So Norman really should improve his arguments before coming on the show, because he's really showing himself up to being a second-rate activist.
And of course, the people of Gaza, Richard Millet, are dying a very slow death. But of course, Israel is helping even to expedite that. When we get back to the main topic and what is happening on every Friday, do you think that the Palestinians have the right to at least demonstrate, since their land has been usurped from them? Do they have the right to demonstrate, in your perspective?
Of course they do, but I mean, what if their land has been usurped? How can their land have been usurped?
Answer the question. I ask you, do they have the right to demonstrate, Richard Millet? Do Palestinians have the right to demonstrate, in your perspective?
Peacefully, but they're not protesting peacefully. They're throwing Molotov cocktails. They're burning kites into Israel that has caused huge amount of destruction of farmland in Israel, including many animals that have been burnt to death by the rockets, by the kites, and by the Molotov cocktails that they've thrown into Israel. And this is all, they're being forced to do this at gunpoint by Hamas, who are the current day Nazis, which Norman Finkelstein seems to think that because they were, quote, elected, then that they should be able to continue to do that. Well, Mr. Finkelstein should know that Islamists, Nazi Islamists like Hamas, are elected, but they only go for one election once. They will never ever have another election because people like you are so supportive of them that they
stay
can
with
now
you, Richard Millett. Stay
to
with
do
you,
what
Richard
they
Millett.
Want.
You said, I want to just get back to the topic at hand. Of course, you didn't really answer the question saying if they really have the right, because it's all relative. You're saying that they're not peaceful. At the same time, does Israel have the right to use live ammunition to shoot children, to shoot journalists, to shoot health workers, besides all the others who have been killed?
Well, look, these aren't necessarily, you know, if they're members of Hamas and they're throwing Molotov cocktails and they're firing rockets at Israel, Israel has to defend its people. Israel has to defend its soldiers. You might not like the fact that these Israelis would like to stay alive, but I'm sorry, if someone calls themselves a health worker or they call themselves, they're a teenager, but actually they're Hamas.
They call themselves a teenager. They call themselves a kid. They call themselves an infant, because we've had all of those individuals killed since March 30th. Dr. Finkelstein, back to you.
No.
When we look at this situation and we see 70 years later, and we see now every Friday the Palestinians gathering, is it a total act of desperation after what they have seen over the 70 years? And of course, this year, being that U.S. President Donald Trump declared that Jerusalem is the capital of Israel.
One second, let me just.
So, Dr. Finkelstein, can you hear me?
I'm just trying to turn off. Give me one.
Okay.
Okay,
let me know. Have a good day.
I'd like to just return to a couple of points that Mr. Millett made. Number one, Mr. Millett, is it your opinion that the World Health Organization, the Physicians for Human Rights in Israel, that B'Tselem, the Israeli human rights organization, are they all part of this vast Hitlerite anti-Semitic plot when they say 97% of the water in Gaza is unfit for human consumption? Is it your opinion that Sarah Roy of Harvard University is also party to this plot, claiming that 97% of the water in Gaza is contaminated? Are they all of them part of this vast anti-Semitic conspiracy, which sounds like the old days when they used to talk about a Jewish international conspiracy, and now you have this anti-Semitic international conspiracy comprising the leading scholars, the leading humanitarian organizations, and the leading human rights organizations, incidentally, most of them staffed at the senior level by people of Jewish descent, like Kenneth Roth of Human Rights Watch. Are they all part of this conspiracy claiming that Gaza's water is contaminated? Now, let's look at a second question and I'll hear you out. So we have the case of the 21-year-old medic named Razan al-Najjar. She was trying to help a Palestinian who was shot. She had her hands raised. She was wearing her medical uniform and she was killed by an Israeli sniper. B'Tselem, the Israeli human rights organization, it investigated that particular killing, and it reached a conclusion about 2 weeks ago, I think, it reached the conclusion that she was deliberately killed by the Israeli sniper. Now, do you justify the killing of that 20-year-old medic? Can you clarify your point? Can you clarify your position on that?
Richard Millard, go ahead.
Norman, can you try and be sensible for once? You love to call them Jewish for some reason. You're obsessed with someone being Jewish, but because they're Jewish, they have to be what they say is right. I mean, you're so immature in your argument. It's really quite sad. If these people were being poisoned by the water, then why have they got the strength to protest every Friday, to launch rockets, to launch Molotov cocktails and burning kites? We don't see anyone dying of water poisoning. We know you have an agenda, Norman. We know you're ideologically against everything the State of Israel does, including its existence. But what you say is being borne out. I mean, I don't care about Sarah Roy or Human Rights Watch. I don't care what their religions are. I know it's important to you, but to me it's absolutely irrelevant what someone's religion is. You have to look at the evidence. Look at the evidence in front of you, Norman. You're not seeing anyone being poisoned. You're not seeing anyone dying from water poisoning. You're seeing a Gazan people who are being fed and watered and provided with electricity and fuel by Israel. And yes, they haven't got the freedom to go into Israel and to murder Israeli families. I turn the question back to you. What about all the Israeli families about the suicide bombings, about the murders of Jews who...
Richard Millard, how many Israelis have been killed since March 30th? How many Israelis have been killed? How many Israelis have been wounded? Over 17,000 Palestinians have been wounded. Over 150 Palestinians have been killed. And you're saying that the Israelis are being killed? Norman Finkelstein, I'll give you the last word. Your take on all this, is there any other way besides resistance that the Palestinians will get what they want?
The Hebrew University scholar, his name was Baruch Kimmerling, he described Gaza as the biggest concentration camp ever. And it seems to me pretty straightforward and uncontroversial that people who are confined in a concentration camp and who are daily being poisoned by the water they drink and the food they eat, that they have the right to use any force in order to free themselves from those circumstances. And I don't think that's a complicated moral question.
All right. And on that note, I'd like to thank both my guests. Unfortunately, we're out of time. I appreciate you being with us, author and lecturer, Dr. Norman Finkelstein, out of New York, and out of London, journalist and political commentator, Richard Millard, out of London. Thanks so much, viewers, for being with us. And hopefully, I'll see you right here, same place, same time tomorrow. I'm Marzia Hashimi, signing out for myself and all the crew. I'm right here. See you next time.